Okay, we've got one of the sharpest guys around. Nathan Sharp is getting very, very personal right after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. All the world
keeps telling me. This is so trippy. You're right here, but you're right here. Yes. This is beautiful. I feel like I can't talk over this song. It's so good. But yes, hi, welcome everybody. Today is Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Today is Monday in the States. We are filming this right now. Everything is live. Welcome to Spotlight On. We're going to get very personal. I said that, but we're not. We're just going to get super casual with Nathan Sharp. I am your host, Amy Cassandra Martinez. And wow, there are so many of you guys in the chat. Thank you so much for being here. If you have any questions, which I know we have a million already, feel free to just tag me or at me or however you say that on like within the chat so I can see it. And everyone is sending you so much love right now.
Awesome.
It's great. And hopefully you'll be able to replay this chat and just be like, oh, this is great.
Right on.
Okay, so we're going to start off with a few questions and then we'll have a segment where we just delve really into everyone's fan questions.
Cool. Sounds good.
So tell us about your childhood.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. There's a reasoning behind this question because I think as creative people, I think our childhood really forms who we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially like being a little bit nerdy and embracing that. Mm-hmm. What was your childhood like that really shaped, you know, you how you are now?
Yeah. Well, for people who know me, they obviously know that like video games are such a big part of how I got to where I am, like a culmination of video games and also music and like putting those two things together. And that's kind of always been the two big things in my life is gaming and music. And then, so playing a lot of games with, really supportive parents, which I'm always very thankful for. You know, you get a ton of artists that are just like, oh yeah, I had this like really like rough childhood and that's what made me, and like that, like all respect to them, it's just like that's not my story. Like I had had a lot of support growing up and I couldn't have done it without that. And that weird hybrid kind of found its audience. There were a lot of people who were into this and I was just like, all right, cool, I'll just, you know, keep doing it. And that was kind of a hybrid of like childhood but also like past career. But but that was a huge part of it for sure.
Do you remember the first time you played a video game?
Yes. My first ever game was Super Mario World for the Super NES.
Nice.
It was my childhood best friend. I was at his house and he has Super Nintendo. And he was like, yo, check this out. And I was just like, dude, this is so cool. It's like a cartoon, but like I'm controlling it. That's wild. And then
I
went home and I like begged my parents for one. And then after enough bothering them, they're just like, all right, here it is. And I'm just like, all right, cool. Because I was only child, so a little bit spoiled from time
Perks
to time.
Perks of being an only child,
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, definitely. But Super Mario World was kind of what started it all.
And now that, like, you know, uniting with music, what was your first experience of listening to a song and really feeling connected to it?
One of the biggest things I attribute to wanting to become a musician and like a performer, I had originally like done music since I was very young. My parents kind of basically like talent shopped me. They were just like, all right, try this extracurricular. And basically like they put me in front of a piano. It was like the only thing I like didn't totally suck at. So like, you know, I tried out for the basketball team in middle school. That was horrible. That was embarrassing. But so I had done piano since I was like very, very young. But it wasn't until I was in, I think it was high school, where I saw Green Day live. And that was the first time I was just like, that's cool. That looks fun. I want to try and do that. And that kind of paved the way to the whole like, you know, rock and roll performance.
So thank you, Green Day.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Okay. Always. They have so many good songs, but what's your go-to? Like, dang, that's the one I jam out to the most.
Waiting.
Waiting.
Yeah, very okay. very underrated one, but yeah. It's so good. It's the good. It to me, it's like the perfect combination of like it's still like, you know, like punchy punky Green Day song, but at the same time it has like a good amount of feels and like a little more sad emotion instead of necessarily like angst and like angry and stuff, which I still love that too. But yeah. it's a nice, like, it's a good mellow Green Day track. So definitely, definitely the fave for sure.
Now, you know, you have those two passions. Mm-hmm. How did that whole idea of like uniting the two together come about? And what was your first experience making a YouTube video like? I think we've all kind of been in that position where you start recording, you're like, all right, here mm-hmm. we go. We're doing this.
Well, I had already, even before YouTube was a thing, like, I was around for, like, the MySpace music scene, like,
yes! way back. Yeah, oh, yeah. my gosh, yeah.
Like, even before, like they even had actual official players, like, putting, like, HTML code into your profile and then, like, posting your own songs to there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I've been at it for a while. Mm-hmm. So, YouTube was just, it was just another website to mm-hmm. post your stuff and see what clicks and... before doing like the music and the gaming stuff, well, I was already doing music. It wasn't gaming related. I was doing like the typical like top 40 covers that a lot of people were doing and stuff like that. And they were going okay. Mm-hmm. At the time there wasn't like a ton of heart behind it. It was more just like, oh, I'm like, you know, the other people are doing top 40 covers. So I'll do top 40 covers, mm-hmm. even though I'm, you know, like an alt rock guy at heart. Always. I was just doing it. It was going okay. And then there was one day where I just, for no good reason, I had the idea. I'm like, it was when Payphone by Maroon 5 was like huge and on the radio, like,
oh,
which is a great
yeah.
song, but it was
yeah.
on the radio like every other minute.
Yeah.
And I was listening and I was literally, I think I was at the gym and I was just like, what if I like rewrote this to be about Pokemon? Because I love Pokemon. It was like one of my favorite games growing up. And I drove home. I wrote the lyrics for it, like, in my head on the drive home.
What?
And then I recorded it in, like, just a couple hours. I was just like, all right, cool, sure, whatever. I uploaded it. So I'm like, all right, this is silly, but it's kind of fun. And that went pretty well. And then I did it again with a Taylor Swift song. And then after, like, two or three, you know, it hit YouTube, right? And I was just like, all right. This is your career now. I'm like,
that's it.
All right, cool. Yeah. It's just something that was not planned. It was never really in the cards to do. It just, it was just right place, right time. And it happened. So I was like, all right, cool. Like, I guess let's keep doing this because it's fun. So why not?
Well, and that's nice to hear because I think especially when now that we live in a world where a lot of people use YouTube, you know, yours truly included, it's hard to first get that first video up. First of all, for yourself, because you're mm-hmm. thinking, oh my gosh, this is really stressful. People are going to see this. But then also trying to stay relevant and mm-hmm. stay true to who you are. And I really like that you did that. You
yeah.
know, you took something that worked, but then you're like, wait a second, let me make this mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always try to. Because that's a big thing I find with a lot of people who want to get into content creation, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people like ask for, you know, advice or like tips or whatever.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get so like focused on like numbers and they're just like, I want to like have this many subscribers and I want to like get this many views. It comes down to like, it's like, but is that like fulfilling? Is that like
yeah.
spiritually and like creatively make you happy? Because that's way more important than
exactly.
like just trying to be like, oh, I just want to climb the ranks. Cause it's like, well, you got to put heart in it. You got to put soul in it. And going from doing the regular top 40 covers to like just writing songs about stuff that I like was a big turning point for me when I was just like, I need to stop focusing on what I think will just be like, boom, this will do great. Like, obviously, and just be like, I just want to make stuff that I like and stuff that I enjoy. It's something that a lot of people, I think, overlook.
And it's also like it's for people watching, but it's also for you.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a little video diary of everything you've done all on YouTube. You know, and everyone's seen it, but mm-hmm. also you've seen it.
Yeah. Actually, I was at a convention this past weekend. I was at Anime Expo.
Ooh.
And a fan had asked me a really interesting question, but they were like, what percentage, when you're making something, what percentage of it is you creating something you like versus something you think that the viewers will like? And, you know, I tell
Dang.
Them, it's like, honestly, like, always selfishly put myself first. I'm just like, I'm just going to make what I think sounds good and what I think will like. And then whoever likes it, you know. I think that's the biggest thing is people just forget to make stuff that they would listen to or they would watch.
Well, and I feel like it's also about staying true to who you are. Mm-hmm. If you're a nerd, woo, mm-hmm. awesome. And just embrace that and learn that it's okay. And people, like, that audience will find you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to start. Let's just actually start taking questions because there's so many.
And cool,
just,
cool.
We're not going to get to them all, but we're going to see how many we can. I will, you know, go from getting questions from the fans to talking about other things. Okay. Oh, but we have to start with this one. It's mm-hmm. not a question. It's more of a comment.
Okay.
This is from Lillian, a.k.a. Rose. Hey, Nate, I just wanted to tell you that it was such an honor meeting you. I'm sorry I was so nervous, but I'm so glad you liked my drawing of you and Craig from Dream Daddy.
Oh, right on, right on. Thank you so much.
It makes me think, you know, as someone that creates something, mm-hmm. what is it like to be able to, like, meet your fans face-to-face? It's one of these things. It's just amazing, you know, being able to get all these questions mm-hmm. straight for you, but like mm-hmm. to see them in person 3D, be actually like able to talk to them.
Oh, it's night and day.
Yeah,
like it's a world of difference, and I prefer it. Like yeah. Like I tell a lot of people this, but because, you know, we I also do conventions, I do appearances, and I do a lot of touring and mm-hmm. a lot of live shows, and I always say, like, I'll take performing for 500 people in real life over getting a million views on something, like, any day of the week, because it's so much more, like, they're right there. Mm-hmm. You're seeing in real time how they're acting, and they're not just a picture and a username. It's like, that is the best way to realize that, like, these are totally, like, real people. And mm-hmm. not that, you know, people leaving nice comments and stuff isn't, but it's just, it's every single sense and not just, like, reading it, you know? So it really, like, it's way more impactful being able to meet and, you know, play shows for these people, like, there and then.
And they love you so much. Like, you'll be able to see this in the chat. Don't mm-hmm. worry. There are millions of questions. But two for me. Mm-hmm. What has been the craziest, not in a bad way, just craziest fan experience, and one that just made you like, well, that was kind of scary. Or maybe not scary, just like, whoa.
I get that question a lot. And my the people who listen to my music, like the viewers and stuff, like, for the most part, they're all really sweet and really wholesome. Like, mm-hmm. I can't honestly say I've had, like, a bad or crazy fan experience. Mm-hmm. Everyone's super respectful, really polite. I think an impactful recurring thing is the people who they share, like, the impact it's had on their lives. And it's always very touching because I know it's really hard to, like, mm-hmm. talk about that stuff, to, like, say that something got you through a bad time, let alone yeah. say it to, you know, the person who made that particular thing. So anytime somebody shares that, it's just, it's more than just like, oh, they're just saying this nice stuff. It's like, that's, you know, there's like an amount of bravery it takes to do that. So that's a lot of courage, and it's like really, it's really moving, and it's very, it's really heavy, but I always appreciate it. So,
and it keeps you going, you know,
mm-hmm,
then you're
absolutely.
Like, dang, like, I'm making a difference, which it's beautiful. Okay. Al Rain ran mm-hmm. noon, but, okay. Sorry. That's the handle. Not music related, but how's the DM planning for tonight going?
Mm.
Yes. Let's get into
D&D.
It.
All right. Let's talk D&D. I'm always ready. So
your face lit up. Dang.
Oh, D&D is like the high right now. But mm-hmm. I'm in this D&D show called Dark and Dicey. It's myself and a bunch of fellow like YouTubers and voice actors and things like that. Our normal dungeon master was in the hospital all weekend, and he's out now. I believe he's recovering a lot better, but he's still not up to par. So yesterday he was just like, "Hey, we're going to have to cancel tomorrow." I was just like, "Well, what if I just DM it and we do like a little one off thing?" So planning's been a lot of fun. I got most of it done last night, and I'm gonna do a little bit more last second planning before we start tonight. So I'm really excited for it. It's also my first time ever, and I've been wanting to do it for a while, so I'm very nervous, I'm very scared, but I'm hoping it's entertaining, and I hope the players have a good time, because I have some fun stuff planned.
Well, how can everyone that's in the chat and that will be watching this later, how mm-hmm. can they support you tonight?
Yeah, it is Dark and Dicey at 7 p.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/DND. It's a Dungeons and Dragons Wizards of the Coast official Twitch channel. So, yeah, if you don't already watch the show, go watch. It's a ton of fun. We have a blast every Monday, and it's great. D&D's great. It's an awesome community.
How did you first get into D&D?
So I had started playing D&D. I'm still pretty new to it. I've only been playing for like probably 3 years now, which in the scheme of things is not very long, because so many people I know is like, oh, I've been playing since middle school. I've been playing since I was like super young, because it's been around forever.
Oh, yeah.
And over the past few years, it got like really mainstream and really popular, which is great because now it's like a cool thing to do. So
it
like,
is.
Yeah. And that's been a big thing we've noticed is like all this like, this nerd culture stuff, like anime and Dungeons and Dragons and video games are like the cool thing now. Like walking around Anime Expo, there were like giant billboards for like all these shows and like digital like bus ads with like gameplay and stuff like that. It's just like, this is crazy that this is like the empire it's become, which is great. But I had started D&D about 3 years ago. A friend of mine before I moved to, no, it was actually closer to 4 years now. Before I moved to LA from Florida, I had a couple friends who was like, hey, try this out. He's like, I'm a DM. We're going to have a couple people play. It's going to be fun. I'm just like, I don't know what to expect or whatever. So like, we'll see how it goes, et cetera, et cetera. And we played one session. I'm just like, that was so fun. That was so cool. It was like, it's like a game. It's like a video game, but it's not, because like, it's all up in the imagination and things like that, which is awesome. And then I had moved to LA and I was working on another online show. And there I met Jared, who is in a show I'm in now called Dice Camera Action. And he was talking D&D and I was new to it. And I was just like, are you talking D&D? Because like, I just started, but like, I love D&D. It's so much fun. And then he's like, yeah, I'm actually starting a show and we're looking for players. Do you want to be part of it? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. That'd be great. And that game has been going for like 2.5 years now. So it's been 2 hours with these people almost every single week. And
it's
so much fun. And we've just fallen in love with our characters, and our DM, Chris Perkins, is absolutely incredible. So that's kind of how I really got into it, was a D&D show. And it's so fun. It's so great.
Guys in the chat, let us know if you play D&D. Okay.
If you don't, you should.
Yeah. Okay, so it's Kiera. Hey, Nate, how did you get inspired for The Wrecked and The Worried? I love that song with all my heart.
Ooh, The Wrecked and The Worried. It's kind of this weird vision where, not vision, it's hard to describe like how I see it, but it's really about like mental health and anxiety and depression and things like that, and how like especially in more recent years, how it's become almost this movement of like awareness for it, which is an incredible thing, because we're learning that it's not that this is a new thing, like it's been around, but now like people are just being more open about it and more supportive about it, which is awesome, because it's something that should have been way more like relevant and talked about way long ago. But like, it's just the fact that, you know, especially in this day and age, like almost everyone I know to a certain extent, like deals with some form of anxiety or
something like
it's a fragile thing, and support is the most important thing to get to that. So it's kind of how, The Wrecked and The Worried is almost kind of how it's like this movement. It's almost like a, like this, I don't even know how to describe it, like a church, or like a just a big group of people who are just supporting each other on it. And it's a beautiful thing how we all kind of, I think everyone just kind of has this bond over how like messed up we all are at our core.
Oh yeah.
Which is, and it's great because it shows that, you know, like this is, it's like what you're going through is not abnormal. Like everyone deals with something like to a certain extent. And the best thing you can do is just, you know, be honest and be open about it, and, you know, just go to who you can for support. Cause I like, I remember even like a few years ago, like I had really bad social anxiety. Mm-hmm. So like when I'd get invited out, you know, I'd have to like, you know, make up some kind of excuse, be like, oh, you know, like something happened at home or something came up, or I'm like feeling sick or whatever. When really it's just like, you know, it's like kind of freaking me out to like go do something. So the fact that now, like, it's a lot easier to be open about it. Cause like I have friends who, you know, they'll cancel on plans. I'll cancel on plans and we'll be like, hey, I'm just like mentally not up for it today. It sounds really exhausting and it's kind of freaking me out. And everyone's just like, oh my God, I totally get that. That's totally fine. And I think that's a beautiful thing. It's awesome.
And I think that's also part of what really helps with being part of a little community, like a Dungeons and Dragons community, like another nerdy community where it's okay. It's okay to not feel okay.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
We're totally here. We're all crazy. Mm-hmm. We're all, you know, like not always happy all the time.
Yeah.
And it's okay. And you're not alone.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, you know, feel your feelings. Don't like, don't like being, if it's like, if you're sad, then that's fine. You're allowed to be sad. If you're happy, you're allowed to be happy. Mm-hmm. Just like, just be honest with what's actually going on and just like embrace it. And then it's easier to, you know, address it accordingly.
So. I feel like these are wonderful quotes to just hang up around your apartment, you know, to feel your feelings, kind of like ride the wave.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Okay, this one's kind of serious.
Okay.
Max wants to know, hey, Nate, I just want to say I absolutely love your music, new and old. I was just wondering if you're done with video game music for good.
No.
Hey!
A lot of people ask me that because I haven't done, like, any, like, really nerdy related music lately. A big thing is I don't really control what kind of inspiration hits when. Like, I always want to make music no matter what. Right. But sometimes I'm in a mood where I'm like, hey, I played this game and this was really cool. So I feel compelled to make a song about it or something like that. Or, like, I see a opening for a show. I'm just like, that was really cool. I want to, like, do a fun cover of it or whatever.
Yeah.
Lately, I've just been really focused on the latest album and original stuff. Because right now, the biggest thing that's inspiring me is things like emotionally and mentally that are going on in life and stuff like that. And right now it's basically whatever is on my mind. That's what I'm usually writing about. And lately, emotional stability and, you know, just like how life is going and stuff is what's been on my mind. So I'm just like, that's what I'm going to make music about, you know,
that's life inspires. Good to know.
So, yeah.
Wait, there was someone asking about going to the UK anytime soon. Are you going to be doing that?
It is not currently planned, but I would love to at some point. Right now, we're keeping all of our tour dates kind of in the US because we're still pretty new to touring. Like, this is only the second tour we've done that we're doing at the end of the year. So we just need to kind of see how those go and then try and build it up from there.
I feel like also with a tour, there's so much that's involved that you really want to make sure everything's planned accordingly.
Yeah.
And that you just make all those stops.
Oh, it's such a nightmare. And like, I'm so happy and blessed to be working with not only a great company, but a company made up of really good friends at a real good touring shout out. But yeah, I've been working with them. And they've been making touring like such a breeze because I see the steps that goes into it. It's just like, I don't know how I would do that on my own. It's contacting so many people, so many venues and promoters and things like that. And it's just like, I don't even have these people's contact, let alone like emailing like 40 people a day. So
thank you guys for doing your job and doing it well.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Last question for a moment. Scarlet Magic wants to know, Nathan, can you give me tips on dealing with stage fright? I want to someday go on tour and sing and I have anxiety about it. So please help.
I think the biggest thing with that is honestly just doing it. The way I got over stage fright was
scared me. I know you said just do it. I'm like, no, but we're right here. It's okay.
No, it's like, I got over stage fright at a pretty young age because like I said, when I was young, I was playing piano. So I, you know, did a lot of recitals and the first few, like they were terrifying. And then it got a little easier and easier to where I actually became more comfortable like in front of people than like in crowds or like in regular social situations. Like I got more used to performing and being on stage than I am like going to a party and like talking with these people like casually. So it really is about, and I think that's the best way to conquer any fear is to just like force yourself into that situation repeatedly until you just kind of like, I guess either go numb to it or just like get used to it. or even like with performing for me, honestly, to like start enjoying it. Because now for me, it's my favorite part of it. It's the best thing.
See, there's hope, guys. I mean, I know there's some even like massively famous singers where they still get stage fright. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing to be scared of, I would say.
Oh, yeah. You know? And I'm not saying I don't experience it. Like, there's still nerves. There's still like...
butterflies.
Yeah. But it's like a happy nervous. It's like excited nerves. I'm just like, okay, cool. We're doing the thing. Here we go. So instead of just like, I can't do this. Like, I'm freaking out. So like, no matter what, there's going to be like some kind of rush before that. But...
that's eventually what you use to feed off of, you know, mm-hmm. and then you use that energy, then bam, you go and you kill it.
Yeah.
Do you find it harder to perform in front of a small group of people as opposed to a larger group of people? Or is it the same for you?
It's one thing that makes it a little bit tricky is stage lights make it almost always impossible to even see how many people are really out there.
Yeah.
Like, unless I like ask for like, you know, a crowd light, because most of the time, like when you're on stage, there's like really, really bright overheads just like beaming at you. So for the most part, like every show I've played, aside from like the first few rows of people, it's just like dark.
Yeah.
So it's hard to gauge. So, and I think that's another thing that calms me down is just like, all right, I can't even really see how many people are here. So there's just these cool people up front.
Yeah, they're
and,
my friends.
You know, yeah. So we're just chilling. But I will say, because I think the biggest show we played was opening for our friends' tour, the guys in this band, NSP. Mm-hmm. We opened for them, and it was the Hard Rock in Orlando, and it was a sold-out show. And that was, like, that was easier to see, because then there's also, like, filled up, like, multiple decks of people. And I'll say, like, the energy is way higher, because there's just so many more people just like to feed off of, and it's wild, but it's so much fun.
Do you feel like the Beatles ever, where it's just like, ah, you've got all the fans and they're screaming, you're like, ah.
It feels great.
Yeah,
it's awesome having people like showing up and getting excited, mm-hmm. and singing lyrics that you wrote in the city you've like never been to. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's super humbling. It's super fun. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's awesome.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about everything that you are currently doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start off first with Paid in Exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So that just came out last month.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, so new album came out last month, like you said. Mm-hmm. It's one that I've been working on for about, I think, two and a half years. I had actually started working on it before the previous album. I was working on a couple of the songs off of Paid and Exposure first, before Sandcastle Kingdoms, which came out the year prior.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had these songs and I really loved them. Something about it didn't feel right with the timing, so I just kind of like shelved them. Like, I'll sit on these and save them for a future time. And then I released Sandcastle in 2017. That's the year.
Yeah.
But I released that, and then I revisited these songs, and it was like, okay, now seems like the time to take that step in that sound direction. Because it was a lot, the new albums, it's a lot more like theatrical. There's a lot more character to it. It's a lot more animated in a way.
Animated.
And, mm-hmm. And that's something that I love about it. It's one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. It just feels like there's a lot, you can almost like visualize a lot more going on with it. And the whole thing's really just about, like, the past 2 years of my life. Just moving to L.A. had a big, big impact on what I was writing about.
I can imagine.
Because there's a lot more emotionally and mentally going on since moving, which, I mean, selfishly as a songwriter, I'm like, all right, cool. I have fuel. Yeah, so.
All out on paper.
Oh, yeah.
When you're writing a song, do you ever imagine or, like, picture the audience, like where they would be, like, oh yeah, this would be a great song to play at a wedding for the reception, or like a great song to just chill by the window when it's raining outside?
I think actually an even bigger thing I keep in mind when I'm writing now is more, how will this translate to the live show?
Oh,
which is that was like another huge impact for the new album, because I when I came out with Sandcastle Kingdoms, we weren't touring, we weren't really playing live shows or anything, so I just kind of wrote like every single song, just like, all right, every song's just gonna be at 20 and like everything's like way up there and stuff like that, and it was great, I love the album. But then we played these songs live, and I'm just like, oh my god, all these songs are really hard for, they're all like really high in my register, they're all like a lot of oomph, a lot of like really just like gruff pushed vocals, and like it was hard to sing, and I wasn't singing properly, and after every set I was just so exhausted. So
yeah.
for the new album, I was just like, okay, what's something that still sounds really cool but won't like destroy me to sing every night? So and then as a result, like we just played our CD release show here in LA, and I got through that set, and I'm just like, it felt so good. Like it was just like, this is how I should feel after a set, not wanting to just like pass out.
That's a good thing to keep in mind as mm-hmm. well for people that are starting their music careers.
Mm-hmm.
Like it reminds me of what is it? How I Met Your Mother,
mm-hmm.
Barney, and like having, you can't have everything be a 10.
Right.
You can't just be like blah 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 blah. That's exhausting.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'm sure it was very enjoyable still.
Yeah, definitely.
You know. Okay, now we're gonna transition to voice acting stuff.
Yes.
Okay. From the beginning, what point were you like, I want to try that? What inspired you?
I mean, that's something I always wanted to do yeah. as a kid. Because in addition to video games and music, I watched a lot of cartoons. Like I was, you know, sitting in front of Cartoon Network like every day. And I was just like, oh man, these voices are like so fun to do. And like, just like, you know, memorizing like movies and stuff like that
yeah.
and quoting it as I was watching it and things like that. And then it's something I had been interested in, and I more got into it kind of by chance. It was it's something I wanted to do, and I was already being a guest at a lot of these anime conventions because mm-hmm. I did a lot of like anime music mm-hmm. and things like that. So I would go to these things, and I would, you know, meet different actors and directors and stuff, who a lot of which are like some of my closest friends now, and It, that's kind of how I got plugged into that community. One of which was a director who I've worked a lot with. It was one of my first times at a convention as a guest, and he's walking around, and you know, he knows everybody there because you know he's worked with everyone. And then I'm also there, and he turns to me and he's just like, "I know everyone here. I don't know you.
Oh.
Who are you?" I explained what I did or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's just like, "Do you do voiceover?" It's just like, I've done a little bit, but it's something I've like, I want to get more into. He's like, "Okay, give me your info. And if something comes up, I'll see if you're right for it." And then a few months later, there was this one show where he's just like, "I feel like this guy would sound like you. Send an audition. If it's good, we'll do it." And then that's kind of how it all like launched from there. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, it's a very unorthodox way to get into it for sure, but
I mean,
it's a lot of fun. I love doing that.
And it's also LA.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot about like who you know, where you're putting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of people that, at least, you know, like in social media, family members, friends, where they say, "I want to move to LA, want to like put my roots down over there and like see what I can do." That's one of the things to keep in mind, is you need to put yourself out there.
Right.
Put yourself in situations where you're going to be able to meet other people that can help you or you can learn from.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And a big thing, because, you know, I get a lot of people who are like, you know, "Hey, I want to move to LA and like do like the whatever entertainment they want to do."
Yeah.
And a big thing I tell them is like, try to get something like lined up waiting for you.
Because
like coming out, like they're the people who kill it. They come out here with like nothing. And their talent just shines through so hard, and they just like kill it as soon as they see the right person. But it's super risky, and it's really tough. And that's not like a like don't chase your dreams
thing, or whatever. Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, like always have as many backup plans as you can. Like don't put all your eggs into one very risky basket because, you know, God forbid it doesn't work out, then it's like, it's good to be like, okay, well, I have this other thing I can do still, so I'll be okay.
Yeah. And I like that. I like
mm-hmm.
that. Now, we have to give... Well, no, you have to please give a shout-out to someone. She's been blowing up our chat.
Oh, gosh.
Can you give a shout-out to Leah Kish?
Leah Kish?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Leah Kish. Thank you for hanging out and watching.
No, seriously, like, you guys are great. You guys are the most excited fans I've ever seen
awesome.
On AfterBuzz, and thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
Let's take a few more questions
cool.
From people. This one's kind of serious as well. What is your biggest fear as a musician, coming from Silver Prince?
Ooh, fear as a musician. Man. It changes a lot. I think lately it's been a fear of making the same record twice. Because I released Paid and Exposure, and then I tried to start writing more. And I did like what I made, but I was just like, this sounds exactly the same. This is like kind of doing the same thing. And to me, one of my favorite parts of the job is I have a lot of artistic freedom and I get to like be really diverse with my sound. But it's just like, if I just do this by myself again, I'm not going to be able to get out of my own head. And it's just, it's going to be the same thing, like 2.0. And I think that's just boring, you know, like anytime an artist puts out something new, I'm just like, all right, what did they do this time?
That's not different.
Like, yeah, exactly. So, I already started working on some new stuff, and I've been working with a couple other people. It's a more collaborative writing process, which is something I've never done, but I've always wanted to do. And like right off the bat, it's like, this is such a different but like awesome experience, because now there's like other people's inputs. So like I'm given ideas and they can be like, yeah, let's keep this thing, or this thing sucks, so let's not do that. Or like, you know, let's take this and like tweak it. And then vice versa, they'll come to me with ideas and I'll be like, I love this. This is great. Let's try to do this. Or just like, no, I don't like that. So it's a cool factor that I've never had before. It's just like, okay, what's my next song going to sound like? I don't even know. So it's really exciting. And it's really different. And I always love trying to like spice up the creative process. So
do something different and take risks as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So with everything that you're doing, okay, so there was just that EP, Paid and Exposure. What else are you currently working on? Because there's a million things and I want to make sure everyone knows every way they can support you.
Oh, awesome. Well, Paid and Exposure just came out, and that's kind of been the big thing. Man, there's so much going that it's hard to keep track of. Like this past couple months, like every weekend has been like something different. So I'm just like, all right, we're going here for this, we're going here for that. But Dungeons and Dragons is a really big part of it. Again, I'm in two shows, Dark and Dicey on Mondays, and then Dice Camera Action on Tuesdays. So watching those shows are such a big support. D&D's great, and it's, like I said, such a wonderful community that I love so much. The EP, man, what else is there?
More voice acting.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I can't talk about, which is just like, ugh, I want to. But yeah, working on a couple more projects that when they're out, you know, if everyone just supports whatever like game or show I'm like, you know, a part of, then that's always appreciated. Paid and Exposure tour starts in August. We're hitting a lot of cities that we've hit before and a lot of new cities with more dates coming out. I think we're going to try and announce them this month, but nothing's confirmed yet. But we're hitting, what are we hitting? We're hitting Denver, Portland, Seattle.
Those are pretty cities.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. Detroit, I think, is the first one. Burnsville, a bunch of other places. So, and those are all over the socials, too. And I spam my tour dates every other day. So, and we're also going on, that tour is with my buddy Zach Callison, who's a singer-songwriter. He's also a voice actor in Steven Universe, and he's putting out his EP this summer, so we're both going to be out there just like promoting our new music and like playing a bunch of shows, having a good time. So
I love that you also surround yourself with people that are at the same level as you of just wanting to create and do things.
It's really inspiring. That's one of the coolest parts about being out here, is being able to constantly be around like other creative people, because then, you know, you're around these people who they have ideas and they're excited about what they do. And then I go home, I'm just like, man, they got me excited to like do new stuff. So I need to work on something. So yeah, it's great. It's awesome. So much creative energy just like flying all over the place, like every day.
People are excited outside as well. Good. Did you hear all that cheering?
That's, I did. They should be. Everything's exciting.
A lot of people are wondering if you will be at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con.
I will not, unfortunately. No plans to do that one. there's not much more to say. It's like, yeah. Other than like, no,
it's very crowded, guys.
Yeah. I went last year and I will Oh, so you went.
Well, I stayed mostly in a hotel. I was editing, but I did venture out on Sunday.
I will say for how crowded it is, it's at least from what I saw, a really well-oiled machine. Because there were big crowds, but at no point was I really like, I never got stuck was a big part for me. Because like a lot of these other conventions, like you're shoulder to shoulder and it just doesn't move. And that's horrifying.
Because you don't breathe, really.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like claustrophobic and people, so.
Yeah. I will be there. So, hey. okay. People also want to know, there was a question about starting out on D&D. Any tips for beginners?
Ooh. Wow. One of the biggest things that people struggle with is finding a DM, because anyone could be like, oh, I want to be a player and make a character and stuff. But the DM's the person who runs it, who makes the story, who has to play every other character.
No pressure.
So just like ask around, find friends who are doing it. Finding a DM for Dark and Dicey was really tricky. We like shopped around and like asked a bunch of people, and eventually we came to our current DM, KG, who we are so lucky. He's so incredible. But just like don't be afraid to ask people like who's doing it, who's playing, who wants to play, especially now because so many people like want to play now. It's like such a thing. So finding other players is easy. Just like give it your all and find a good DM that can give you a cool story.
I like that. Get one like you.
I haven't DM'd yet.
I know,
but
we all have faith in you.
Ah, now there's pressure.
No,
people
no
assume
pressure.
It's gonna be good.
No. Now I'm gonna ask you a series of questions that I always like asking my guests.
Okay.
In the style of Inside the Actor's Studio. They're just like quick ones,
sure.
Quick answers. Okay. What is your favorite word?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
What's your least favorite word?
No. Being out here, that's a tough one.
What sound or noise do you love?
Ooh. Okay, it's really specific. It's from a game. It's the sound you make when you do a spin jump off of a spike shell in Super Mario World. Anyone who's played it knows exactly the sound. It's this really satisfying, like, thud. It's just like a nice thump, and it's like, oh, that's good.
That's cool. I've actually never heard that one before.
It's good. It's a really good one.
What sound or noise do you hate?
So many.
Yeah.
People who like scrape their forks on their plates.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
it's
the
bad.
Worst.
It's like, ugh. Anything at that frequency is just like chills in like the worst way. I'm like, ugh.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Oof. That's tricky because there's like four and I'm doing them. I don't know about attempt, but I know that if I weren't doing this, I'd probably just go back to being a music teacher because I've already attempted it before, but it was a fun job. So.
And now I want to know from you, if you could send like a time capsule message to yourself 10 years from now, right over there. That's where you are 10 years from now. What would you say to yourself? What would you be hoping to be doing?
10 years from now. So
from
not
now,
in the past.
Right.
You know, if I had the option, I wouldn't. Because I think I don't really want to know anything. I think I want to find out firsthand where I'll be in 10 years. Because if there's any kind of warning or anything like that, then I don't know. Spoilers for my own
alert,
life,
right?
So.
Yeah. Do you have any goals that you're like, well, you know, I'm going to ride the wave, but I would like to have that?
You know, right now the goals are just keep doing what I'm doing, but like on a bigger scale. Just like, you know, let's make every tour a little bit bigger. Let's make every album a little bit better than the last one. And I think my goal is just to keep progressing as a person, as a songwriter, as like everything, but also at a reasonable pace that's not like overwhelming, you know, because like there's the whole say, it's like, oh, you gotta live your best life and be the best version of you like every single day. It's like, that's a lot of pressure,
you know?
It's like, so I think my goal is to just keep progressing and not get overwhelmed by it.
I mean, those are wise words coming from such a sharp person. I'm still trying it, man. I'm still trying it.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you, everyone in the chat. You guys are freaking rock stars. Thank you so much. I know they're already following you, but mm-hmm. for people that have not yet followed you, I mean, what are you doing? But can you just tell them where they can find you?
Yeah. I'm, you know, wherever there's social media, I'm there. Nate Wants to BTL, Twitter on Insta, youtube.com/giveheartrecords. That's my label where I also make music with fellow artists on there. And yeah, twitch.tv/DND. Watch me play all these crazy characters. So yeah.
And support him tonight. Send him lots of lovely tweets his way as he DMs for the first time.
Oh, so nervous. Yeah. So excited.
You're going to be great. Don't worry.
I'm trying.
And thank you again so much for watching. I'm your host, Amy Cassandra Martinez, and you guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.